Dr. Ryan Stanton here with ASEP Frontline on the last day back here for ASEP 16 in Las Vegas, Nevada. The teardown is in progress. This room is being quickly transformed back into a ballroom exhibition area, so you may hear some of that going on while we are talking. And I'm joined now by a friend of mine. I actually met you face-to-face for the first time last year, ASEP 15.
Right.
We have a lot of similar interests. He's based out of New York City. We're both physicians, both do media and media similar activities. You'll see him all over the place, a lot of NBC, CBS, other outlets. I think
right.
We did. ABC was who
That's
we were.
That's right, we did. Yeah, last
we were
year.
ABC
ASAP,
was who
yeah.
we had for ASAP 15. Yeah. And so he has a lot of that, very proficient at that communication of emergency medicine to the public through the media. And that's what I wanted to talk to him about. Dr. Robert Glatter, emergency physician out of New York City. Thanks for joining me. Give us
Thanks
some
so
background
much.
On, one, how you got into it, and then we'll get into some of the benefits of physicians as communicators in the media.
Right. I think I'm drawn to communication because I think that, taking care of patients, a lot of them just don't understand what is happening in terms of like current studies in the media and what it means, and they're just very confused. And I think that understanding the studies and really diluting it and really just making it understandable is so important. And that's what kind of drove me into it.
Mm-hmm.
I think working all the years, people just didn't, they would read things, come in and ask you. I just figured, let's just talk about it in plain English, because often you can't really understand it. And I think that's what our job is to make public understand the important things to take home. When you read about the use of aspirin, heart attacks, when you read about other interventions, and the public is knowing, should I be doing this? What are the ups and downs and so forth?
So the application of that research and data
right.
that's out there, and I think there's a huge role for us as physicians, and you do the same thing, of putting things into perspective.
Right.
So whether it's Ebola, whether it's Zika, whether it is some other, the new hot headline of the day
right.
is putting it into perspective for the viewers and the listeners and saying, here's the facts, here's what you really need to
right.
worry about, here's your risk factors, and here's what to expect. And more importantly,
right.
how do we decrease that risk?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think that brings up some ideas more currently about Zika. Zika
mm-hmm.
was something we worried about. It was, a concern when I went to Rio, at least. I was there for the month at the Olympics with NBC, as we discussed earlier. And the public was very, concerned about, should I travel to Rio? Would this be...
Or should they cancel the Olympics?
Right. Should they move it? Right. And there were many, many essays put out by so many, thought leaders saying that we should move it. We should cancel it. What should we do? And I think the models really turned to the point that it wasn't necessary, kind of contrary to what most people would think.
Mm-hmm.
And this was counterintuitive to, a lot of the thinking that went into, public health and modeling and so forth. But the studies were valid, and we went forward. There wasn't any significant increase in Zika cases, even months now after the Olympics have ended. And anecdotally, I never really saw many mosquitoes, maybe a handful in a month down there. And that's an interesting, point to bring up, is that it was their wintertime and it wasn't an active breeding season. And the conditions, while there are pools of standing water, it wasn't significant.
I have actually heard that from multiple people that went down there with the idea that they would be covering a significant Zika outbreak
right.
and said, I never even saw a mosquito the whole time I was there.
Right.
And I think that's a lot of hysteria driving the cart instead of looking back and saying, what are the factors that are going to affect this? Yes, it's
right.
winter. Yes, we're outside of the season. Who's at risk? So we can target those that
right.
would potentially be at risk and make adjustments there. But to the vast majority
right.
of the public, it's not a really significant risk.
Exactly. And I think that, now that we have Florida being an issue in the South in terms of local transmission, it's very, very spotty and very limited. We expected this to happen, maybe a little bit in terms of local transmission of Zika,
mm-hmm.
but it hasn't really panned out in any true way. And I think that, protective measures, screens and windows and so forth, and, spraying and wearing repellent have helped. But I think ultimately we're not going to see this sustained transmission that we had feared.
No. And you being from New York, me from Lexington, Kentucky, we both... I'm sure we both had a fair amount of hysteria in our regions, and
right.
I kept getting on the radio and the TV stations and saying, just pump the brakes. You know, here's the things you can do. Here's the things I recommend. Like, if you're childbearing age or pregnant, don't be traveling down to the Caribbean right now or to high-risk areas.
Right.
Otherwise, there's bigger risk you're facing right now, like your drive to work.
Right, exactly.
Like flu season. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's huge risks out there. Getting back to the media side of things, why do you feel it's important for other physicians to get involved and to be comfortable communicating? Because I think it's a lot of physicians are afraid to talk to the media.
Right. I think that because this is the outlet. You know, we're in such an open and free society today, whether through Facebook or instant messaging. Our portals of communication are open. I think, you know, it gives us even a greater opportunity to put the message out and to really help patients understand what's going on in the world, especially in a public health standpoint, because that's really what it comes down to, you know, messaging that way, that really kind of boils it down to what you need to know and to really ignore all the, you know, the extra noise around you.
You and I both do a fair amount of radio and TV, but that's not the only set of outlets. What are some of the options out there for that education and teaching for physicians outside of the hospital?
Right. I think Twitter has become really the mode in which we kind of educate and communicate through the phone movement now. And ultimately, you know, studies are put out in lightning speed, and the discussion and dialogue really happens through Twitter. At least that's what I'm finding. When I need to know immediately what's happening with a study, it's on Twitter. It's you know, in the old days, it would be at a meeting. Like here, we'd finally hear it, and dissolve it, and discuss it. But it's actually not the case any longer. So.
I think half the building may have just come down.
We're still standing.
The floor is vibrating. Right. They're dropping boxes.
That's right.
This may be the end of the Ryan and Robert show.
That's right.
we may be found in a pile of rubble in the Mandalay Bay.
That's right.
In Las Vegas, Nevada.
We'll be part of
part of the history.
Yeah.
So how would you suggest, if there's a physician out there listening?
Yes.
How are the best ways for them to get involved with whatever outlet they choose to get involved with?
I think they should speak to the public relations office at their institution.
That is key.
I mean,
if you're going to mention them or affiliate at all.
Right. Maybe start doing some writing and some local, you know, kind of either radio work, kind of like solicit, you know, their activities through, you know, like an audition, a tryout, some way to just kind of show who they are. Show them your Twitter account. Show them what you've, you know, you put out recently, that your thoughts on any given study or subject that could be useful to the public in that sense.
Well, making sure that I think it's important for you as physicians to at least separate some of that personal and public. You don't want to be using your
Absolutely.
Personal Facebook page as the education, and you don't want. I mean, with Twitter, we both have some personal things that happen on there, but it's not where we share all the family photos or start getting into personal political rants or whatever it may be. So you need to make sure that it stays professional, that it's that it's believable. I absolutely agree with talking to your PR. They, especially if you have anything that affiliates you with your facility, because one, you want to make sure that you have the right messaging from them, and two, that they don't find out about it on the back end.
Exactly. I think you need to be very transparent about what your views are. If you do, you know, certainly if there's a political hot button issue, you've got to try to stay out of things, especially with the election, so to speak.
Oh, absolutely.
Election related stress is a recent topic which I commented on, but I, you know, both camps have a lot invested, but the issue is stress and not to really sway to one side or the other, because that really is an issue when you start doing that and creating, you know, such a you know, a wave in that sense.
Well, and you know, I say don't get into politics or religion, but in medicine, I think three of the big topics that automatically put you on the firing range are the abortion topic, the gun control topic, as well as the legalization or whatever approach to drugs, whether it be marijuana or whatnot. I think those are definitely hot button, and you need to stay clear of those. I mean, when we work here with ASAP with the PR department, there's always stuff that comes through, and I say never get involved in a wedge issue.
Right.
Never get involved with anything that has people that are polar opposites in their opinions.
Exactly.
Because you've already got whatever side agrees with you.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason to completely alienate the other side and then say, you never can pull them back in.
Right. I think that politics can really make or break you. Mm-hmm. And if some of comments are made early on, you know, and you really have aspirations to be, you know, in the media, that could be a real red flag for certain outlets if they see what, you know, how you're commenting. So I think you need to dress right a fine line, but understand each side.
As a physician, I think it's really important to stay, like, politically or personally belief neutral. Our job and the reason the public looks for us is to speak on the facts.
Right.
Like, give me the medicine, give me the science, and I think that's the important role that we play in the media right. In terms of education.
Absolutely.
Let the pundits take care of the opinion
exactly.
part.
But an interesting study, I don't know if you saw, but Democrats and Republicans, physicians that are, you know, tilted one way, often treat different, you know, diseases and entities in different ways. And so that was a way that I think that the public looked at that and said, mm-hmm. How does my doctor treat a certain condition? And then makes them wonder, are they Democratic or Republican? That I found that literature, you know, it was interesting, but it was also biased in some ways, and it could slant patients away from, you know, their doctors, even though they agreed with them on maybe 80% of how they managed the condition.
Interestingly, emergency medicine was the most balanced of the professions. It sat right in the middle, 50-50
exactly.
in terms of the conservative or liberal. So it was right there in the middle. So I was very happy. And we've actually seen that in the council. We've done votes before.
Uh-huh.
And it is within, out of 300 and some odd people, it's always within one vote of being right
yeah.
down the middle.
Yeah, and I think that's what makes the profession so interesting is that you get
yeah,
that balance.
It is a balance.
Yeah,
it, is
exactly.
it is a fantastic balance.
Right.
So how do you, otherwise, in terms of potential places to get skills or techniques in order to be comfortable with dealing with the media. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that, first of all, you need to be aggressive. You need to, you know, certainly make your voice heard. You can't lay back. This is the kind of a, you know, profession, if you're going to get into the media, where you have to really be out there, let people know that you're interested in going forward, seek out any kind of physician as a mentor that you see currently, mm-hmm. and then try to use that as a springboard. Because I think, you know, using ourselves as our best resource is one of the best ways to really go forward. Because if you spot that person and you want to emulate them, you see how they deliver the message, how they, you know, interact with the media, how they, you know, how they, it's their manner. I think that's what you need to look at.
And find your niche. Find what you are passionate about, your skills. You know, there's a lot of ability. You know, I'm very regional in the Lexington, Central Kentucky area
right.
and stuff here. You do, of course, stuff very through New York, stuff there, but also
right.
nationally and internationally as well.
Sure.
And so understanding, one, your niche, your environment, the concerns your community has, but also who you're
right.
speaking to.
Right.
The audience is going to be very different based on where you're headed.
Right. There's an old adage that words can create worlds, and that it can affect, and it's a broad, you know, statement, but what you say has an impact. You know,
mm-hmm.
even a small statement on a nationally syndicated news outlet, say, for example, Health Day, goes all over the country and then picked up by the world. So you got to, you know, think about what you're saying before you say it and understand that your words have implications and that, you know, carefully think about how you deliver the message.
Yeah, that's why I think that there's training classes are available. They have the Media 101 courses
right.
here with ASEP that we do at the ASEP Scientific Assembly, as well as the Leadership and Advocacy. There's Surviving Gotcha Journalism, which is a very interesting way of looking how sometimes they try to, especially if it's somebody that's seeking your opinion, maybe trying to angle you for an agenda to pitch you against
right.
somebody else or to trap you.
Exactly.
And so that's very important things to do. Those courses are available. You can search those on the ASEP.org website. All right. I appreciate your time.
Absolutely.
We're about to not have a place to do
that's
it.
Right, we're gonna
the back of the studio is disappearing.
So we've got to go.
Before long, it's going to be
yeah.
you and me sitting in two chairs in the middle of an empty room. So,
well, thank you again. I
know you're on Twitter. Pass on your Twitter handle so
yep.
folks can follow you and your activities.
It's at Dr. Robert Glatter, and hopefully we can interact soon.
Oh, of course. We're always interacting on Twitter. And then, as soon as you post something, whether it's from Rio or in New York City, it's like retweet, and it's the same way with I'm sending out stuff. It gets sent out right away. So
right.
I appreciate your time once again.
My pleasure.
I really appreciate
Good
you setting
you.
Aside
yeah.
time. To come here after closing time.
Anytime.
We're closing the doors on this bar. You can contact me at EverydayMed on Twitter, as well as the ASAP Frontline Facebook page. Like us. That way you can keep up with all the posts and the new episodes that are going to be released on a weekly basis. Also, you can contact me at any point if you have any questions or suggestions at youreverydaymedicine@gmail.com, youreverydaymedicine@gmail.com. And until next time, for me right now, so long from Las Vegas, Nevada and ASAP 16. I'm Dr. Ryan Stanton, and this has been some ASAP Frontline.